Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We need your help. I need your help. We need your help. So Lord, would you speak today? And give us an ear to hear what you're saying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our day of chaos and uncertainty, it's so important to know where we stand and who we stand for and who's in control. Who's in control? Just a wee bit of news straight off the press this morning, just in case you didn't realize. Donald Trump's not in charge. Vladimir Putin's not in charge. Keir Starmer's not in charge. Jesus is in charge. His own words, all authority has been given to me, Jesus said, in heaven and earth and under the earth. Jesus is in charge. And today, as we think about God being able, I believe God wants us to look away from ourselves today and look to him. Get the focus on him today. I don't know about you, but if I look at myself too much, I get disappointed. I get discouraged. I get fearful. But when I look to him, things change. So we need to look to him today. Paul, and we're turning to that passage in 2 Timothy 1, and Paul is encouraging a young pastor, Timothy, who, when you read down through the scriptures, there are those verses that we read, he's fearful, he's apprehensive, there's things coming against him, there's persecution, there's different things happening. And Paul's writing to encourage him. He's writing to encourage him, and he says in verse 3 to 5, he's reminding of us an heritage in the gospel. He's saying, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, verse 3, as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears. So Timothy's in a place here where he's finding it difficult. He's finding it tough. And that's the way it can be for us as believers, where things crowd in on us, where everything seems to happen at the one time and we feel overwhelmed. Maybe that's you this morning. You're maybe feeling overwhelmed. And Paul's reminding him of a few things. When I call to remembrance, verse 5, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is also in you. So he's reminding him of his heritage, of his, where this gospel-centered calling is through his family line, but he gets to the place where at the center of all that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He reminds him in verse 6 and 7 of the gifts. I'm just going quickly through this. We're getting to verse 12, which we're going to center on. I'm just giving you an overview. You read this in your own time. Verse 6 and 7, he's saying to him, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hand. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. That's an amazing verse of scripture. God has not given you and I the spirit of fear today. There's many things that can make us fearful in this world, in our lives, personally, and all around us. But God has not given Timothy or you and I the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. He goes on in verse 8 to 10 to talk about God's calling and God's purpose. God's got a purpose and a plan for everything. If you talk to the people of Ballyshillan, that's one of my to-the-front messages all the time. God has got a plan. God has got a plan. Wherever you're at this morning, God has got a plan. Whatever you're facing this week, God has got a plan. God has got a plan. And he says to him, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own, listen, to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. What an amazing verse of scripture. You know, this is not according to you or according to me. This is God's plan. God's plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for my life. He said in that great chapter in John 15, you didn't choose him. He chose you. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? That is an amazing thing this morning. I'm excited about that this morning. I hope you're excited about that. You didn't choose God. God chose you. What an amazing thing. And this is what he's saying. And this is God. He says to him, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Before time began. What an amazing thing. And then he gets to the central figure in the gospel, which of course is our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10 and 11, he says, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, we've been singing about it, and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. So he's given a lot of different encouragements here to Timothy to think in these things. God has got a plan, Timothy. Things might not be going great, but God has got a plan. Things might not look as if they're going to work out, but they will. Maybe not the way you want them, but the way God wants them. God has got a plan. God has got a plan for your life today. And what I want to leave with you today primarily is this verse 12. You can look at the rest of those verses in your own time, maybe this afternoon or through the week. Verse 12, here's what Paul says, for this reason I also suffer these things. So Paul was saying, look, suffering is just not about you, Timothy. We all suffer for the gospel's sake. We all suffer for the gospel's sake. It's just for these things, this reason only I suffer these things. Nevertheless, listen, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that I have committed to him until that day. He is able. That's what I want us to think about for the last moments in this service this morning. He is able, we are not. We need to keep that at the forefront of our mind all the time. He is able, we are not. Paul says there at the beginning of that verse, I know whom I have believed in. Question this morning, and I don't know hardly anybody in this church, do you know Jesus Christ personally? Do you know, Paul's not saying I know about him. I grew up Churchtown Presbyterian Church, where your former assistant Richard is doing a great job up there. He's done a good job, Richard, I have to say that. He's doing a great job. I grew up in Churchtown under a real fiery wee minister called John Joe Rainey. I knew about Jesus from I was these kids' size here. I knew about him. I knew I needed to be saved. It was preached every week from the pulpit. I knew about the cross. I knew about the blood of Jesus. I knew about all that. And yet I didn't get saved till I was 30 years of age. See, I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know him personally. I'm a great old Liverpool fan. Any Liverpool fans in? That's, well, not even go there. Hasn't been a great season, but that's another story. I could tell you things about our former managers. Jurgen Klopp, I thought Jurgen Klopp was an amazing, interesting man. I could tell you where he come from, clubs he managed, things he won at Liverpool. I could tell you all manner of things about him. Why am I telling you that? Here's why I'm telling you. I've never met him personally. I would love to meet him, but I've never met him personally. Never met him personally. I can't say I know Jurgen Klopp. I can say I know things about him, but I don't know him. I wonder in here this morning, do you know Jesus personally? Have you had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ? Has your sins been dealt with at the cross of Calvary? Have you received that, been born from above? Jesus talked to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus was a religious man. He was a religious teacher. John Wesley was preaching from the Bible for a number of years till one night in a meeting, he said his heart was strangely warm. Have you had that experience? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? That is the key. That is the key. Because Paul was saying, I know whom I have believed in. I know him because I've met him personally. I've met him personally. Hebrews 7 and 25 says that God is able to save to the uttermost all those who come to him through Jesus. God is able to save. So we're thinking this morning about being God, being able. If you're in here this morning, you're not saved. God is able to save you right here and right now. Maybe God has been speaking to you over a period of time. Maybe you've been under conviction. Maybe you're thinking, I need to get that sorted. Maybe as you've listened to the word week in and week out, you've come to a point where you think, God is speaking to me here. God is able to save you. He's able to save you. Many people say to me sometimes when we're doing evangelism around Ballysillan, Andy, I would love to get saved, but I can't keep it. Jude is a wee book just before Revelation at the very end of the Bible. It's only got 25 verses, and verse 24 says this. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling or keep you from stumbling. Now to him, not to us, to him who is able to keep you from falling or keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. God's not only able to save today, he's able to keep. You see, it's about him. It's not about us. God doesn't save us and leave us to our own devices. God saves us and he keeps on. Psalm 23, we read it. And so many portions of Scripture become so familiar, don't they, too? So Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. We could all quote it. Some of us could quote it anywhere without even looking at it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I trust you can say that this morning. He's your shepherd. What's the next bit say? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in path of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. It's about him today. So many times we get caught up, and the devil wants us to get onto the territory of us and him. You see, if it's me and the devil, he batters me all day long. But you see, when Jesus comes into the equation, see, he has defeated him on the cross already. So salvation's about Jesus. First, foremost, and all the time, it's about Jesus. He doesn't save us to leave us or forsake us. He saves us to keep us, to keep us. None, he prayed that great prayer to the Father in John 17. He says, none that you have given me have I lost. None. None. If you come and he takes you into the heart of his hand, nobody can pluck you out of his hand, the scriptures say. Nobody. Don't let the devil torture you with things that are already dealt with at Calvary. When you come to the cross, you need to believe. You either believe that all your sins are dealt with at that cross, or you don't. The old devil is very good at reminding you of things of the past that have already been dealt with at the cross. If you go through the book of Romans, you get to chapter 8, and you read verse 1. It says, there is therefore now, considering everything that has went before that, that all our sin have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. We call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Chapter 8, verse 1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You feeling under condemnation this morning, believer? We need to open up God's word and tell the devil what it says. An old pastor friend of mine, not long after I get saved, says, Andy, we were looking at the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, and he went through the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. But then there's this sword of the Spirit. Become a good workman, acquainted with the sword of the Spirit. How acquainted are we with the word of God? Because this is the only offensive weapon in that whole armory. When the devil comes and says, you can't make it, we need to get the word of God out and say, Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You need to hear that this morning. Maybe you're facing something, you think, I can't. I was talking to the kids about it. I can't do that. No, you can't do it, but with Christ, you can do all things. That's what the word of God says. See, we need to counteract the lies of the enemy. Well, what does God say? What does God say? That's the importance of the word of God. Not just reading a verse a day and saying, that's my reading's done. Taking it in and seeing what God says about your situation at this minute in time. And he says in Ephesians 3 and 20. We'll just read it. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Well-known verse. And sometimes the familiar verses, you know, are ones that we let float over our head and we don't really, okay, I know that verse. Read from verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3. It says this, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to riches of his glory." This is Paul praying for the church at Ephesus. "To be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man." We need that. They needed it. We need that. "To be strengthened through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Verse 20, here we go. "Now to him who is able," there it is again, he's able. Listen, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." I'll just read 21. It finishes the end of that there. It says, "To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." So he's able to save us. He's able to keep us. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think. If we go back to our reading in Timothy, and in verse 12, it says, "For this reason I suffer these things." Suffering is something that's akin to all of us as believers. If you're in here this morning, you're thinking close to getting saved and thinking, "I need to do this," can I have some news for you? It's not going to be easy. Being a Christian is not an easy life. It's not a cakewalk. Sometimes we promote Christianity, just come to Jesus and everything's going to be great. Many people in here will know that's not the case. It's going to be great eternally. It's great. It's a great life. It's great to know. It's great to have that assurance. But there's many battles and many fights with the flesh, with the enemy, with the world. "For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." Don't be ashamed of the Savior this morning. Don't be ashamed tomorrow when you step out into your workplace, into your school, into your families, into your neighborhood. Don't be ashamed of the Savior. Why? "For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day." He's able to keep, he's able to save, he's able to keep, but he's also able to do exceedingly abundantly more than what we can think. I can't is not in God's vocabulary for you and me as a believer. I can do all things through him. Can't do it myself, but I can do it through him. We are weak, he is strong. But we need to remember the second, but I hear people pray in the prayer meeting sometimes, and we pray the first half of that verse. And here's what we pray. You'll have heard people pray in this. "Lord, I know that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, so please do this or that or something else." And we forget about the second half of the verse. And here's what the second half of the verse says. I'll read the whole verse again. It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think," listen to the last bit of the verse, "according to the power that works in us." What power would that be? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that as a Christian this morning, God by his Holy Spirit comes to live inside you? Romans 8 and 11 says, "The same power that raised Christ from the dead, if it dwelleth within you, quickens your mortal body." Is there a struggle in your life at the minute? We need to go to the power of God. We need to call upon God. You'll not do it in your own strength. Trying to do it with willpower or your own strength or battle or do this or do that or do the other. We need to call upon God. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. It's the most amazing thing that God, when you're born again of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God comes to dwell and abide in your life. The Scripture's talking about being filled with the Spirit. Problem is in my life, I'm not going to speak for you, but the problem is in my life sometimes there's so much stuff cluttering up. And it's not necessarily bad stuff, it's just stuff that we need to lay some of that aside and ask God to come and fill, replace it with the power of his presence and the power of his Spirit. You think about what he says in verse 6 and 7 of 2 Timothy 1. He says, "Stir up the gift of God which is in you." We can't stir that up. We need to go to God and allow God to come by his Spirit and stir that up. David said after he had sinned In Psalm 51, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. We need to call upon God to strengthen us in our inner man for the fight. When we go out through them doors outside, hostility towards the word of God. You see, you can't be a Christian and everybody love you. That's not what the scripture said. John MacArthur said that, I remember him preaching, he said that when Paul arrived in a new town, he didn't look for what the hotels were like. He looked what the jail was like, because that's where he ended up, in jail. Maybe after getting beat, he ended up in jail. Hostility outside the walls of this church against the people of God. But we have everything that we need in Christ. In Christ. I know him I have believed in. Is that you this morning? And I'm persuaded. Not, well, I think. I'm persuaded. Another version of the Bible says, convinced. Are you convinced this morning that whatever you face this week, and some of us are facing big stuff this week, whatever you face, he's able. He's able. Not me, but he's able. We need to give the burden, cast our cares upon him because he cares for us, the Bible says. He's able to save, he's able to keep, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think. And we're flowing through this morning, guys. But I'm going to leave you with a problem. Here's the problem. For me, maybe it's your problem too. There's two verses written in my Bible the day I got married. And I didn't understand what they meant. But I understand now. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Second line is my problem. Maybe it's your problem. Lean not onto your own understanding. We try to think this out ourselves. We try to think out a way again. We need to go to God. First port of call. We need to go to God. Sometimes we try so many different ways to sort a problem out. And then we go to God and say, Lord, you know, I know you're busy, but could you help me? We need to go to God first. We need to go to God first. He's the only one that can save this morning. He's the only one that can keep. He's the only one that can do exceedingly abundantly more than you ask or think or imagine. Whatever you're up against today, and you'll be up against something, I'm sure of it. And if you're not, it'll maybe be tomorrow or next week. You know this. God is able. I know him I have believed in. Persuaded. He's able to keep that I have committed to him. He's going to keep it until that day. What day would that be? Either the day you go to be with him, or the day the clouds break and Jesus returns. Do you know him today? Just sense God speaking to people in here this morning. Here's an invite from the Lord Jesus himself. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It doesn't say come to the Belfast City Mission or Drumrea Church or PCI. Just come to me, Jesus said. Come to me. You come this morning? Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your word that reminds us there's one who we can know and be persuaded that he's able to keep everything that we've committed to him. Minister unto us as we sing this last piece and leave this building today. By your Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.